when it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
Hi, I'm Drew Marie, and you're listening to episode 4 of Joblogs. Welcome to Joblogs, a podcast that features candid conversations with young professionals about work, life, and everything in between. Welcome back to another episode of Joblogs. You guys, I am so excited about today's episode. We have some super, super, super awesome announcements for you all. But just to take a step back, as many of you know, I took a little summer hiatus. I took a break from both the website and the podcast to recharge, refuel, think about the direction we wanted to move in, and figure out what's next. And I am very excited to share three announcements. So one, we are interviewing Morgan DeBon, who is the CEO and founder of Blavity. Blavity is a rapidly growing digital content platform for millennials that highlights Black culture through media. And we're going to be talking about community, her experiences starting Blavity, and much, much more. So, so thrilled to have her on the show today. Two, we are adding brand new segments to the show, and we want you to get involved. So head over to joblogs.com to find out how you can get featured on the podcast. Today's episode is going to be the first episode with new segments, so stay tuned. And three, if you're not already clued in by my pronouns, we are bringing on a co-host.
Yes.
You hear her. Courtney Cleveland is a digital storyteller, writer, marketing manager. She has written for publications like Ebony, Afropunk, and Madame Noir. And you can find her work at redwork.co. Courtney, welcome.
Thank you, darling. I'm so excited.
I'm excited, too. This is really like probably one of my favorite episodes already. No shade to the rest of the guests. But it's just so much fun to have a friend in the studio with me. So Courtney and I have known each other since high school.
Yes.
I think it was.
Yes. Pretty Girl County, Maryland.
PG County. If you're from there, you get it. But beyond being friends and just having the chemistry, I'm excited to have Courtney on because Courtney, already, like in our meetings with you, with, you know, our audio engineer and producer, Adrian, you've brought such incredible focus to the show, and you've really helped me to think about the episodes and the guest segments through more of a branded lens.
What's
the theme? What's the story? Yeah. How are we pulling it out? You know, we've created a content calendar. And
you better work.
Yes. So welcome on board. How are you feeling?
Thank you. I'm feeling great. I'm feeling amazing.
Okay.
Blessed and highly favored.
Okay.
Ready to go.
You're ready to go?
Yeah.
Why'd you agree to do this?
Well, one, because of you, because I love you so much.
Oh, thank you.
I love what you're building at Joblogs. So I definitely wanted to be here to support you. And then I just think it's a great extension of the work that I already do. Anyone who reads my writing knows that I tend to focus on creatives and entrepreneurs and either spotlighting those people or giving people the tools to, you know, live in their passion and take control of their lives. That's my big thing. So
yeah.
I just feel like it's a great opportunity to extend those conversations in a new way.
Yeah, and that aligns so well with what I'm trying to do with Joblogs, which is really empower young professionals and entrepreneurs to reach their full potential by sharing, you know, by storytelling and sharing
Definitely.
Other folks' stories. So what's going on with you? What's new? Let's catch up a little bit before we dive into the episode.
Oh, August is so much for me. It's just doing a lot. So 2 weeks ago, I just started a new job.
Congrats.
Thank you so much.
Congrats. What are you doing?
Thank you. Well, I'm doing digital marketing at a prominent performing arts organization in Brooklyn. So that's been really great. So yeah, 2 weeks down.
Yeah.
And really feeling good about it.
Awesome. Congratulations. That's a major move for you.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's great because I love when I take a new position, I always try to make sure that it's a step forward and kind of narrowing my focus on the work that I do. And this is definitely that. So before that, I was And I was working at a film production company doing social media. And I thought that my career was all about digital storytelling from definitely a media perspective. And this job search just made me realize that it's a little bit broader and it's more about digital storytelling through creative work. So not just a media company, but, you know, art, photography, dance, whatever. So it's, I'm really excited about it.
I think it's gonna be great. And we had so many conversations about this. I think it's so important not to limit yourself by industry or by title. You took a creative leap and you're in a completely different field than you would have anticipated. So I think it's so important to just think outside of the box with your career. From time to time. What else is going on? You're going to grad school.
So yes, 2 weeks ago I started a new job. In a week I start grad school. I started the new school. For media management. And so it's kind of putting all the pieces together. Like I cover all these amazing artists and entrepreneurs. So I just want to be in a position where I can really understand how to present media and stories online from the more technical aspects as well as storytelling. So this is helping me do that. I'm going to be so friggin' busy, but it's,
and you're
going to
be more busy because I'm going to be in your text messages and emails.
But, you know, it's all good because, I mean, this is like I've kind of really found my niche. Which is just an amazing feeling. So it's good work. It's good busy.
That is awesome. Are you ready?
Yes. Let's
all do right,
this.
Let's do it. All right. So we are really excited about our first new segment on the show. It is called Rants, Raves, and Reviews.
Triple R.
A brand triple R. Right.
Oh,
look,
that's
look,
not
branding. That's branding at work. Triple R, like triple X. You're branding at work already. But no, Rants, Raves, and Reviews is a brand new segment of the show where each of us is going to share the things that are making our lives better, worse, or whatever that we're reviewing as young professionals. So we're either going to pick a rant, a rave, or an honest review, and we're going to go for it.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
You want to go first?
Okay.
What are you doing this week? Rant, rave, or review?
I am reviewing Apple Music. So I know we're all in the era of like the battle of the live stream thing that's happening with like Spotify and Tidal and Apple.
Yes.
And I feel like I did not expect this, but I'm on Team Apple as of right now.
Okay, explain.
So I started, I'm a Spotify, old school Spotify user.
Premium Spotify user.
Premium dollar.
I am also a premium Spotify user.
And when all this stuff started, like, I'm happy with Spotify. So it's not even brand loyalty so much as I'm just lazy. Like, I'm going to switch a service and migrate my playlist and all of this. Like, you have to be really, really cute to get me off of Spotify. So I wasn't feeling Tidal and all the woo-ha, like, no, like, what are you really offering?
But also Tidal was very, like, from a marketing perspective, I think they really dropped the ball. Like, what are you, what was the business problem they were solving that artists aren't getting paid enough?
Right.
Like who cares about your first world problems?
That's bad, because I love artists.
I know.
Well, independent artists. Maybe if they had got my favorite independent artists, I might have cared.
Okay.
But, so yeah, so features, that's what I'm all about. So I wasn't going anywhere. And then my friend was like, oh, well, you know, you can like to ask Siri like to play music, the top music from a certain year. Now, this might not matter to you. But it does to me because like I just want there's like little features that I care about. Like I want to group my music by like weird things. And Spotify doesn't let me do that. Like I just can search and that's
it. All right. Got you.
So that's that was the hook. That's what they got, that got me in the door. So I did the 3 month trial and I just. The curation at Apple is just amazing. Like, that's why I stayed.
I will give you that because I have been playing the hip hop station and also Beats One.
Beats
One. And
I
have been very impressed.
Like, they had an Elton John station and Elton John played nothing but a G thing. Like, how would we know that?
Wait,
for Apple.
Wait, but where I'm very confused is like, what even is Apple Music? Because what happens when I open the music app, and this is like an interface qualm I have with Apple in general.
Oh, yeah. That's why
like,
it's a
there is nothing that is branded Apple Music. And where do I even sign up for the 3 month trial? Because I'm listening to the stations for free.
Right. Yes. Okay. That's why this isn't a rave.
Okay.
Because there's definitely some glitches in the matrix. Like the interface is horrible. Like Steve Jobs is not feeling this at all. Like it's just like it took me forever to figure out like where all these
where is
amazing
Apple Music?
Playlists are, because like there's so many playlists but they're like under genre, and then some of the activity playlists are like under something else. Like,
and then if
really
you're on your
hard.
Phone, it's one thing. If you're on the computer, it's there's nothing that's branded Apple Music. Yeah. Okay, so I'm not crazy.
Yeah. So
what are you paying for?
You're paying for the same thing Spotify gives you. So you can like listen to the streams offline that you suggest.
Okay.
And on your computer, you can like search for anything and play it.
Okay.
But then you also have Beats One, the radio station. And then you have all of these curated playlists. And when I say curated playlists, I'm not talking like Spotify playlists are cute, but these playlists are like deep album cuts from like just random artists. And then it'll have like, oh, these are the soul samples used in 80s hip hop. Like,
oh,
it's just
really?
Very specific. And
oh,
it's
I love.
Like great for exploring music. So that part, everything's still a little glitchy.
Okay.
Interface isn't perfect. But it gave me that little bonus that I was looking for to switch over.
All right.
Apple Music, I support it.
All right, Apple Music.
Yes.
Cute. This week I am ranting, which you guys are going to have to make sure I don't do every week
rant.
Because I have a bone to pick about everything all the time. But I'm going to talk about gratitude and saying thanks.
Mm.
So a couple of months ago, somebody asked me for a meeting to pick my brain on a new business idea that they had. And I agreed. I was honored, actually, because it kind of shows you the expertise that people perceive you as having and the skills they think that you have. And, you know, that's an honor. So, yeah, I'm happy to sit down and talk with you and share some of my tips and lessons that I've learned from work or whatever. So we pick a date. I had to pick the restaurant, which is qualm number one. Because the person just was not very organized. You know, it was like, oh, let's meet. And then it's like, when are you free to meet? Where do you want to meet? And it's like, I don't want to meet anywhere, anytime. I wanted to continue living my life the way I usually do.
Yeah, don't make me do work to help you.
So I had I had to pick the date and the restaurant and all that. Whatever, that's fine. That happens. So we go, you know, we have a great dinner. We're talking, we're chatting. They're telling me their business challenges, some of the experiences that they've had already. And I, you know, list out a couple of solutions that I had learned from work and also from some of my other volunteer organizations. And they respond, you know, that one of the ideas that I had actually would save them thousands of dollars and they hadn't considered it before. And I was like, you know, happy to help. That's great.
You're welcome.
Right. So meeting wraps, really, really beneficial on both ends. I was interested to hear what they were working on. They were interested to hear some of the ideas I had. The check comes and the waiter places it on the table. And, you know, I do the fake reach in my wallet, expecting that this other party would just say, no, I got this. And they don't. You know, they say, oh, let's just put it down the middle. And so that was qualm number two. When you ask someone for a meeting, especially that sort of meeting where it's like business is really being conducted pro bono for free.
No.
Pick up the tab, guys. Like, I saved you thousands of dollars and you can't take 32 of those dollars to cover my meal.
Yeah.
No, thanks. So whatever that, you know, that's it did grind my gears a bit, but that happens time to time, too. At least we were both just paying for what we consumed. And Mama always told me, don't leave the house without enough money to take care of your tab. So I was fine. But the biggest and most egregious qualm was qualm number three. When, you know, the next morning I open up my email excited to receive a thank you note and no thank you note is there. And the next day,
no follow-up at all?
The next week, the next month. Now, a couple months later, I haven't gotten a word from this person to say, hey, thanks for the meeting, or even to say, hey, this is what's going on with the business. And guess what? Like, you know, it does happen, unfortunately, more often than not. But if that person reached out to me again, I'm just not linking with you. I'm not meeting with you. So my rant is really just around gratitude. It's so important in business and in life to say thank you, show your appreciation, you know, send a little note, send an email, send a text. It's not hard.
Yeah. Because you know what, especially in like entrepreneurship world, I know people who will say like that whole pick your brain thing, like you have to pay them for that. Like
picking, right. The picking of the brains is time is valuable. Yeah. Time is money. And you know, just one way to show appreciation and probably the best way is to follow up, follow through, let people know what's going on, let them know what the updates are and how that advice benefited you. So anyway, that's it's my little rant for
lesson
today.
Etiquette from Joy Marie.
Yes.
Good.
We are thrilled to have Morgan DeBon, who's the CEO and founder of Blavity, a digital platform and growing community for Black millennials, speaking with us today. Welcome, Morgan. So,
thank you for inviting me.
Absolutely. So, Morgan, we'd love if you'd tell us a little bit about yourselves. I think we know you as the CEO and founder of Blavity, but what's maybe something people don't know about you?
Let's see. I'm from St. Louis, born and raised, went to undergrad there at WashU, and I moved to Silicon Valley right after college to work at Intuit as a product manager. And I live in San Francisco now. So yeah, I think most people like don't know. They think I'm from like New York or LA. It's like, no, I'm from Missouri.
Nice. So can you tell us a little bit about like what moved you to create Blavity? What was the inspiration behind creating this platform?
Yeah. So about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, I was sitting in my corporate job, like probably many people listening to this podcast, and was consuming content, right? I was on BuzzFeed, I was on Facebook, and I was clicking a bunch of articles. And while, like last year, there was a lot of stuff going on with Mike Brown and a lot of other, social justice issues, and yet it wasn't really popping up in my feed as much as I wanted to. I had to go to Twitter to get access to this information and kind of what was happening. And being in San Francisco and that, you know, Mike Brown happening in St. Louis, where I'm from, was kind of like a weird moment, right? And like, Blavity is a manifestation of all of these things. It's like there should be content made for and by Black millennials because we influence so much of culture, and yet a lot of these tech companies ignore us, despite the fact that we're huge, huge consumers of their products, right? Yeah. Instagram, Twitter, Vine, you know, Dubsmash, all of these companies, you know, multi-million dollar companies that don't actually cater to us, but we're making them like the coolest thing ever.
Yeah, I agree with that. And Courtney and I were talking about that yesterday. It's funny because working kind of for a larger corporation, you know, with the Supreme Court decision that was passed and sort of, you know, seeing lots of big brands rallying around that, I was sort of disappointed not to see brands rallying behind what's right here in terms of what's happening with sort of police brutality and all of that. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting that you touch on that. And it's so awesome that Blavity exists.
Yeah. Too, so. And I think even just not for brand facing, but the Black community in general, because I know my friends who aren't on Twitter, I feel like they miss out on so much of like what we're doing and contributing to culture. So when I saw Blavity, I thought, oh my God, this is great that someone's putting all of this in one place.
Yeah. I mean, Twitter is a cool place to find out what's happening in real time. Yeah. And surprisingly, like most of our users are actually coming to us from Facebook. So
really?
Yeah, which makes sense, right? Because like you and I, you know, we're all plugged in all the time. But the majority of people like aren't. They're plugged into Facebook, they're plugged into Instagram, but they're not out here like searching for information.
Yeah, they're on the Facebook delay. They get it like a week later.
Exactly. That's true. Is like really funny to see from a data perspective, like, wait, that happened 2 weeks ago. Why are we still reading this? But it's just the world we live in.
Yeah, absolutely. And but you guys have grown very quickly. So Blavity launched about a year ago in July 2014, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. And you guys have expanded rapidly. I mean, just from what I can see, it's, you know, over 40,000 followers on Twitter, over 20,000 on Instagram, and I'm sure more on other platforms. So what do you think contributed to that success and that rapid growth?
Yeah, it has grown quite a bit. In the last year, which has been fun and a huge blessing, but also terrifying because you're like, wait, we weren't ready. But I think the reason we grew so quickly is because it's needed, right? Like it was a void and a thing that wasn't there.
Yeah.
And, or that existed and Blavity didn't exist, right? And so when you solve a pain point for any customer, and it's something that they literally couldn't imagine their lives without it, then you've got something that's really cool. And so word of mouth is the fastest way that we've grown, right? People are telling their friends, they're texting people articles. And we've had some pretty big hitters that have brought a lot of people into the community. So we're a representation of the times. You know, being black is pretty hot right now.
It's trendy. Yeah, it is.
For better or for worse.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's a great place to be. It's a great, from a business perspective, it's a great market.
Yeah. And now, correct me if I'm wrong, Blavity launched as a video, more of a video focus. I think I read that. So I'm really interested to know, how did you know it was time to kind of shift gears from that first iteration of the site? And how did you know that what the platform looks like now, that's where you needed to go?
Yeah, so we started off as a video newsletter. So every week I would like manually take screenshots of the top 10 videos, like curated by Morgan, and email them out to, you know, our user base. And then I would track who was clicking on what. So if it was a funny video, it would get more clicks. If it was kind of like a depressing news video, it wouldn't get that many clicks. And then based off of that data, we then made the video site, which was built from scratch. And, you know, it was fancy. It was really, really ugly, but it had a fancy back end. And nobody clicked on it. Nobody watched anything.
No one watched anything.
Open. Yeah, they would still open the newsletters and like maybe click, but for the most part, like, it wasn't growing organically at all. It was like an entire manual process to get people to the site. You know, so the first hypothesis was like, oh, well, it's like, it's just really ugly. So, you know, I thought, in Silicon Valley, it's like, build the MVP, build the minimum viable product.
Yes.
Doesn't matter if it's ugly, just get it out into the world.
Yeah.
So that's what I did. And then nobody liked it. So I was like, okay, well, let's make it prettier. Same back end. Let's just make it, give it a facelift. We're going to make it lighter. We're going to add, like, you know, call to action buttons and really pretty pictures and all this stuff. So that was V2. And that one did a little bit better. And we found that if we could drive traffic to the site, that people would spend some time, you know, clicking around, watching videos.
Yeah.
And then what happened was we started writing stories on a blog. It was blog.blavity.com, about the creators that we were partnering with. So their backstory, doing interviews with them, and then embedding their videos that we had made or linking it back to the video site. And the written content was getting way more play than the video site. And so we started to release more and more written profiles. And ultimately, it's about data, right? So what I saw was that more people were sharing those pieces of content that were written and they were original, as opposed to us just resharing videos that people probably could have seen or found on Facebook or Twitter. You know, they would have stumbled upon it eventually. So that's the journey to where we are. So now, so let's see, that was July was when we launched. So by January of 2015, this year, we totally pivoted to the written content. We deleted, well, it's not really deleted, it's somewhere on the internet, but we switched over the URL for blavity.com so that it went straight to the blog. And then we did tracked the data. It went really well. So we did another facelift of the blog because it wasn't really designed for everyday usage. And that's the version that you see today. So by the end of January, that's when we finally got the product that hit with the market.
That's so fascinating, Morgan. And I'm glad you touched on that because that's something I struggle with. And I have heard that, you know, the idea of putting a product out in market, getting real-time feedback and then iterating. And even, you know, myself with job blogs and having a new platform, I struggle with the perfection and the idea of like what my original objective was and what I want to put out versus what people are really kind of gravitating towards and enjoying. And like you said, what the data supports. So how do you know to let go? How do you kind of step away maybe from your baby because it is your baby and pivot when it's time to pivot? Like,
totally. I mean, if I could do it over again, I would have listened to myself faster, right? Like, yes, we moved very quickly. You know, we went through like four versions of the site in 6 months, but if I'd really listened to the data and like paid attention to even feedback from some of my close friends, we would have had this version of the site up in November. So, I think the first thing is letting yourself, like, it's okay to be wrong, right? Like, when you're wrong, you're actually just learning something that you shouldn't be doing. And then you just have to ask yourself why. And then the other thing that I tend to do is we set behavioral goals. So what that means is someone will say, I like the color blue. And then when you give them five options, they pick the color red. And you're like, but you just told me that you like the color blue. And they're like, yeah, I do like the color blue. And you're like, okay, great. But you just picked red. So what's the deal? And they're like, oh, I like the color red too. But you didn't ask me that question. And in this context, I actually wanted the color red because, you know, red is my girlfriend's favorite color. And so I picked red.
You know, did you get that information, Morgan? Were you surveying?
So that would have been a survey question. If I had said, do you want blue? Or what's your favorite color? And they said blue. And then when I gave them the videos and one of them was red, they clicked the red video.
Right.
The blue video, right? So I don't do any surveys. We never do surveys. I don't believe in surveys.
Okay. Yeah. And I think even when in my line of work and doing social media, people forget to like just stop and like look at what people are responding to. Like, I think we get caught up in like go, like execute, but you do have to stop and figure out like what's actually working here.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's a really big lesson to learn, I think.
Absolutely.
But let's pivot a little bit to the kind of the back end more that people don't see. I know you have a great team that you're building. How do you incentivize people to kind of believe in this dream and this passion that you have? I don't know, like maybe they're working on your project on top of working full time. Like, how do you make that like their passion as well?
Yeah, so I think we tend to look for people who we don't have to convince, right? It's already understood. That we're all fighting the same fight, you know? So the most of the writers that we have on the team, actually all of them, have come to us, right? So we've said, hey, we're looking for writers, and then we just get a bunch of applications. And I think the most difficult part is just sifting through them all, right?
Yeah.
Making sure that what Blavity is trying to do aligns with their goals, because that's the only way that we're both going to be happy for a sustained period of time, right? We want writers and our team members to be team members for a long time, not just like 3 weeks or one article, one post.
Yep.
That's not productive for anybody. So the people that you have.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
That you see on Twitter and writing on the site, they're amazing. They're super passionate, and they're passionate. They'd be passionate whether they're with Blavity or they weren't with Blavity. They'd be writing the same things.
Right.
We just gave them an opportunity to do it with us and gave them the support and the resources. You know, I'd like to think to do it better than they could get in other places.
Got it. And is your team mostly full-time or part-time?
Yeah, everyone's remote and mostly part-time.
Okay.
Editors full-time. And yeah, a lot of people outside are freelancers, so they write for multiple groups of people or students. We have a lot of students.
Got it.
Cool.
Yeah, and thinking about a new business or a new venture within a year, it seems like you've kind of followed a really great blueprint for setting up shop. How did you know, what to do or what to even be thinking about as you approach this project? How did you know how to build a team and how to incentivize people and things like that?
That's a good question. How did I know? I don't know. I think a lot of it is trial and error. I've been building teams and been in leadership roles, most of my schooling life. So in undergrad, I was student body president as a sophomore at WashU. Had a startup that failed miserably, but it still existed at some point.
What was the startup?
So at WashU, there's a ton of free food events. But you go to the event, you get free food. Mm-hmm. And by the end of the semester, everybody was out of meal points. So they were trying to find these events. So it was an aggregator of all of the events on campus with free food.
Oh, wow.
I love that.
That is an epic idea.
It's a great idea. I still, like, totally believe in it, but we did not have the team dynamics to pull it off.
Okay.
I think at the end of the day, like, team building has been a part of what motivates me and what I enjoy. And so making sure that we had a strong team where people feel like they're contributing to a bigger picture and that they're still learning and being pushed and where it's transparent, you know, what the goals of the company are and what I'm doing and everything. You know, I think everybody, if you talk to anyone on the team, they're completely and 100% aligned on, like, why Blavity exists how we're going to get to the next step, you know, in the next 6 months.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, you know, taking that, you've built the team. It's a year later. You've had rapid growth and success. How do you now begin to deal with kind of the shift of people viewing you for maybe your perceived value now that your platform is growing and, you know, you are becoming more influential in the community? How do you vet people out and, you know, how do you kind of work with people that have a genuine and authentic interest in moving towards the goals that you've set as well?
Yeah, I mean, that's something that's new for me. It's difficult because I want to help everyone and I want to, because especially when we're dealing with, we're building a community that is a reflection of the, of our friend group, right?
Yeah.
So I'm building Blavity in public for people that I care a lot about.
Mm.
And it's, you know, it's not like I'm building an app for children in Canada, you know, like I'm building an app in a community for my friends in New York and my friends that are traveling in Dubai, right?
Yeah.
So I think the first thing for me is like telling myself it's okay to say no because I can't do everything. And if I was unfocused, like, we would never have gotten where we are today. And Blavity would not be sustainable. And it's more important for Blavity to be sustainable in the long term than to help this one person today.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, definitely.
It's really a self thing. And then I think the other thing that I'm working on, and it's a constant thing that I reflect on, is like, how do I help the most people in this period in our lives? And part of it is empowering our team. So I may not be able to help you, but you should talk to Sabine, our marketing manager. You should talk to Aaron, my co-founder, right? So trusting that everyone on my team is extremely qualified and that they can do just as good a job as I can at helping this person achieve their goals is something that we're also trying to do.
Okay. And it's perfect because it segues into something I saw you tweet recently that I thought was really interesting. Let me see if I pull up the tweet. Mm-hmm. It said, if Blavity. Yeah, it comes back to haunt you. It said, if Blavity featured everyone who reached out to us on Twitter, we would be out of business in less than a month. You have to be ruthless about the decisions I make to ensure we exist forever, not just this moment in time. And I think that is a great point. And I just wanted to have you talk about, how do you balance, like, you start these baby projects with really altruistic motives and missions, but at the same time, it has to be like a viable business. It's a product. Mm-hmm. So how do you balance those two extremes?
Oh, it's so difficult. It's really difficult. I think it's just about having like a personal set of principles and then making sure that you're pressure testing those principles with everyone else on the team.
Mm-hmm.
And then holding yourself accountable to them.
Yeah.
And so, you know, one very concrete example is a lot of people ask us to be media sponsors, right? They're for their event. So they're throwing a party, they're throwing a conference, they are, I don't know, going on a speaker's tour, a spoken word poetry slam, right? And I'm like, okay, but if we had every single Black event, which would kind of be dope, but if we had every single Black event did a feature on them on the site, that would totally clutter the site. That would be all that we could do.
Yeah.
Because it takes a lot of time to cover and interview people. I mean, you guys know this, right?
Yeah.
And not only that, but we have a site that crosses over the entire world. Well, people in London don't particularly care about an event in New York.
Yeah.
And until we have the infrastructure to be able to help people filter through that type of content, then we're not doing anybody any service. So it's one of those things where you have to think through at a higher level, okay, if I help this one person, can I help everyone else that is like this one person? If the answer is yes, then great. And that's kind of, for example, our Instagram. Yes, we can feature creators. I can feature every single creator that comes to us, right, yeah, on Instagram.
Yeah.
Can I write an article about them?
Right.
Probably not.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, that's, I feel like that's something I have, you know, spoken with you, Courtney, about that I'm struggling with as well. Because even just with this being the fourth episode, mm-hmm, people do write me and they want to be featured on the podcast, mm-hmm, and they don't necessarily align with what the goals are. Or maybe, you know, there's more of a product sort of play or kind of like promotion or advertisement. And that's, mm-hmm, not what I'm looking to do. So I'm kind of at the same place where I'm trying to, well, definitely not the same. But, you know, it's something that I'm already dealing with, even sort of in the infant stages of the podcast. Right.
And what are your responses to them?
You know, I haven't quite figured that out yet. Honestly, like even yesterday, I got an email and I had Erin Stiles, who's featured on the second episode of the show. She's in PR, kind of forwarded her the email because I was like, you know, this person looks fantastic as a young professional and is very accomplished. But what's the story here? And that's why I'm kind of glad Courtney came on board, because she definitely approaches things from more of a branded storytelling perspective. Like, what are we pulling out of this? What are we pulling out that's really empowering other young professionals and entrepreneurs, right, on their journey? And if the answer is nothing or we don't know, then maybe it's not the right fit.
Yeah. But I like what Morgan said too about, like, you just have these different channels that you can kind of funnel things through. So like, maybe it's not what they ask for, but you can still give them something, whether it's an Instagram shout out or something else.
That's a good point.
I like that.
I hadn't thought really about that. Yeah, I like that approach a lot.
At the same time, you have to be focused, right? Like,
yeah,
focused on and do what you're supposed to be doing. So part of, so there's plenty of things that Blavity could do that we don't, right?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, to that point, so Courtney and I were talking about this on the ride over here. How do you, you know, being a content platform that's really speaking to the Black community, but also in a way creating a community, how do you balance your goals and stay true and continue to be focused while not being too influenced by the community? Because you are aggregating the trends, you're aggregating what's happening, and you're responding to that. How do you balance, you know, making sure you're not getting too inundated by it or losing focus of your goal and your mission?
Yeah, because I feel like even within the age of the comment section, everyone becomes a strategist and they're like, I think you should be doing this, and this.
I get a lot of emails that like, hey, have you thought about this? And I'm like, I may have thought about that, but that's not what we're doing.
Right. So, right. Exactly.
I guess my thing is, I love the energy. I love that there's so many people thinking proactively about Blavity in their daily lives enough to like text me something,
yeah,
or email or tweet Blavity like, hey, have you thought about making a Black Reddit? Have you thought about, you know, making a weekend catalog of all the things to do in Brooklyn? Like,
yeah.
Okay. Maybe I haven't thought of that. Like, so, you know, I would say, for me, it's just staying open. Now, with all the great feedback, we also get a ton of bad feedback. And I think the hardest part is to not take it personally, right?
Yeah.
You know, as we get bigger, you just can't please everyone. The diaspora is a very, very diverse place, and we all have different opinions. And Blavity, even within our own team, we argue all the time about, should we cover this? Should we not cover this? Should we give them attention? Should we even like elevate this conversation,
yeah,
right? And there's a lot of different opinions on the team as well. And so the point of Blavity is not to represent, you know, the progressive Black millennial that lives on the coast.
Mm.
It's to represent a diversity of perspectives of the Black millennial experience in the world. We're,
wow,
not there yet, but we're getting really close.
Yeah, so, that's powerful.
Yeah, not everybody's going to agree with everything on the site. I know I don't, personally.
Oh, really? You don't? Like, you've had writers contribute stuff and been like, eh.
Well, yeah, but I'll publish it because,
yeah,
it doesn't matter,
yeah,
if I agree. If, like, Blavity is not Morgan. It's,
yeah.
Like, it's an entire being on its own.
Interesting.
So, yeah.
Noted, noted. Because yeah. I mean, Joblogs has been a one woman show for a while. So mm-hmm. This is kind of preaching to me and speaking to me in an interesting way, stuff I hadn't thought about in terms of balancing perspectives and making sure you're being representative of the whole community.
Yeah, definitely. And I want to know too, like, as an aggregator of content and trend forecasting, things like that, how do you stay current and on top of what's happening? Are there any tools that you love?
Yeah, I use TweetDeck quite a bit. There's also certain areas that are specific that I'm constantly just checking, right? So all of the things with Black Lives Matter. Mm-hmm. So we have lists of influencers that we pay attention to. Twitter lists are very helpful.
Oh, I love a good Twitter list.
You know, because it's like, okay, what did Sean King say? What did Netta say? Like, what's going on, right? Okay, nothing's popping off. Like, let me switch over to my blurbs. What's happening over here, right? So we have kind of like sub-segments of the Black community that that we have a pulse on, right? So I just told you two, Blurreds, Black Lives Matter. Another one is Afrofuturism, right? So there's just lots of different communities that we're constantly keeping pulse of using TweetDeck. I have RSS feeds. I use a tool called Import.io, and that's really cool for checking out what other sites are talking about, so we can make sure we're not missing anything that's big that just maybe we didn't get a pulse on Twitter. Those are kind of my top three tools.
That's great. And on a personal level, what are you reading, watching that, you know, keeps you inspired and motivated and gives you these ideas as well?
Let's see. I just reread John Maxwell's The 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership. It's kind of like a classic leadership book, but it's nice to think about what I'm doing and what our team is doing at a higher level. It's really easy to get in the weeds and to think about what content are we making tomorrow versus like, how am I thinking about this company? How am I thinking about what we're doing in 18 months and in 5 years and building something sustainable?
Yeah, absolutely.
I also watch a lot of TV to stay sane.
What are you watching?
I just watched Daredevil on Netflix.
Oh, I did watch that. That was good. Do you watch Power?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. The Power finale.
But I haven't watched it.
Okay, no. Well, no, I wouldn't spoil it for you like someone did on my Instagram timeline. Janine, I'm talking to you. So I wouldn't do that. But, yeah. So just like random shows that kind of are interesting, entertaining to you, nothing specific.
Yeah, it's good background noise. Like, yeah. I never give it my entire full attention. Like, but yeah. It's nice to get a little imaginary break.
Okay. Well, we have a listener question, actually, for you. I pulled the interwebs, and Jessica Siegel at Street Market Podcast, which, interestingly enough, is a podcast that explores, like, the people, places, and history behind street fairs and markets in London, asks, very cool, what advice do you have for the next generation, and what skills should they have, really, I guess, to be content creators and contributors? In this community.
For the next generation, yeah, we're old guys. Like,
listen.
Like literally, like I'm like, what is Periscope? Yeah. So, I think the next generation, my advice is like, we're in this really cool world, and I'd imagine even more so for younger people, like where you are the brand, like the person is the brand, and it's kind of like the Truman Show, you know, you can really live a life where like, it's just about you and everyone's watching. And, I would say just be mindful of that.
Yeah.
And, but also use that to your advantage, like learn how to create things, be creative.
Yeah.
It's okay. And it's a viable business opportunity. It's a viable lifestyle. When I was younger, I wanted to be an artist and I painted and I did all these things. And, but in my mind, I was like, this is always going to be a hobby. I can never make any money from that. And I wish that I hadn't listened to that part of my brain and done, you know, computer science or graphic design.
Is that what you did?
Hmm?
Is that what you did? Computer science, graphic design? That's
no, I didn't either.
Oh, okay.
No, I was a poli sci major.
Oh, wow.
Wow. That is left.
entrepreneurship and education, double minor, but.
Oh, nice.
No, because by the time I was like, no, I should do this, you know, it's like sophomore, junior year, and you're not going back and taking all those math classes. So yeah.
Okay.
That'd be my advice.
Love it.
Great advice. Great advice. So Morgan, thank you so, so much for taking time out to talk with us today. Can you tell our listeners where they can find you online?
Yes. The fastest way to reach me is through Twitter. So it's at Morgan DeBon, just exactly how my name is spelled, and on Instagram. And then for Blavity, at Blavity on Instagram, Blavity Fam on Snapchat. And, you know, check us out on the site, www.blavity.com.
Awesome. Thank you, Morgan. So that was awesome.
Yeah. I'm so glad we got to talk to her.
Yeah. Really, and you put her on the guest list, the guest wish list.
I did.
I really didn't think we would, you know, I really didn't think that, you know, we'd be able to land her, but we did.
Yeah. She was great. And I love what she said about just the how the platform evolved.
Yeah.
Because, like, you get so caught up, like, when you launch something, you just get, it's easy to get kind of stuck in one thing.
But yeah.
Open and yeah. Flexible. I really
absolutely. So insightful. So many gems. And she's so young and so accomplished. So nothing but well wishes and support for Morgan and what she's doing over at Blavity. All right. So we are going to get into another new segment, which I think I've spoken about in the past, but this is Ask Joblogs. And so, you know, earlier I alluded to some ways you can get featured on the show. Here's one of them. If you have a question about work, life, you know, need some advice, or just want to talk out an issue with people who can relate, we want to hear from you. So submit your questions to ask@joblogs.com and we'll respond to them on the show in an upcoming episode. Or you can also visit joblogs.com/askjoblogs to view past questions and answers. We asked a few of you what community means to you, and here's what you had to say.
I'm Melissa Kimball of My Creative Connection, a platform that connects creatives of color to tools, resources, and insight on personal development to help them build the lives they see for themselves.
For me, community has become my business, and it helps to put everything into perspective. When I'm thinking of what I want to build in the present and in the future, I'm learning to be intentional about helping as many people as possible, and that has been a driving force for my brand.
This is Kelly O. Williams, director and co-creator of the Paige and Paxton brand that gets little learners excited about big concepts in science and engineering. Our educational system traditionally follows a top-down model, and this is the approach that has been used to teach science and engineering to middle and high school students for decades, right? But in order to get our youngest kids excited about science and engineering, it's going to sound so cliche, but it's so true. It takes a village. And to be authentic to our mission and vision, we had to tap into a village or community, a passionate and dedicated adults. So these are elementary educators or STEM professionals, parents, who truly care about the children in their communities and want to see them succeed.
All right, and we're back. We have another new segment that I am going to let Courtney introduce because she came up with this one.
Okay, new segment alerts. Hired and Fired.
Hired and Fired.
Yes, this is going to be great. Hired and Fired is all about the highs and the lows, the peaks and the valleys of pop culture.
The peaks and the valleys.
Yes. Yeah, so, okay, every show, we're going to pick a person to be hired, and that's someone who we've just seen flawless execution, flawless victory playing out in culture, or a person to be fired.
Fired. So from our imaginary company, basically.
Yes.
So either someone who is demonstrating like personal excellence or right. someone who's terrible.
Like just regrettable behavior.
Regrettable.
They don't have to be terrible as a person. Just like poor decision making.
Poor choice. Okay. Okay. Yeah. I got it. I got it. All right. So we're going to just one of us will do one every show, right?
Yeah. I mean, just whatever your heart feels.
Okay.
Like if you have something in your spirit.
And I don't.
Just share. Okay.
So you go.
All right. So I do have someone.
Or are you hiring or firing today?
Okay. Yeah. So this week, I mean, I was tempted to fire just because that the election's coming up and just that's my least favorite time of American history.
Just fire them
every
all.
Time. I know.
Fire
so
them
I was
all.
Very tempted, but I'm going to let's keep it positive. It's
okay.
My first show.
OK. All right.
So we're going to do Hired. Hired is, I'm so excited for you here, Tokyo Vanity. I don't know if you, do you know who this is?
No.
Okay. Are you familiar with the meme, That's My Best Friend?
Go that's best, my friend. Best friend. That's my yes.
She finna.
Yes. Who was that?
Tokyo Vanity. Okay. Oh my goodness, so she is from the underbellies of the internet where the children play and I don't go. So like Vine or Instagram or something okay. like that. And so she had that was just a video she made on Instagram and okay. it just turned into this huge meme. Like just Google that's my best friend and you'll see it. Like it's reached peak meme. Like yes. the Kardashians are doing it. Like it's saturated the market.
Okay.
All right. So then Mama came
wait,
out.
But can we pause okay. at the fact that Kardashians are peak or
that's culture saturation. Oh, okay. Like all you, right. I mean, don't knock the hustle.
All right,
that
all
is,
right.
That's okay. saturation right there. All right. So this is my thing about memes. Like they catch on, and then the person who started it is usually like left behind. Like maybe you get some, you know, new followers.
That's true.
But like that's all you're gonna get out of this.
That's true.
Miss Tokyo came out, and she was like, you know what? Here's a link to iTunes because I've made this into a full song.
Really?
Yes.
Tokyo's getting paid.
She's getting paid.
For a meme.
For a meme.
Now, why would I pay for listen, something that I can get for free?
Because it's like 3 minutes and 40 seconds. Oh. Like the meme is 10 seconds.
Okay.
The song is extended.
Okay.
It's everything. She has a music video.
Oh, I love.
You have to see this music video.
Yes.
Like she's in a tutu running through New Orleans.
Oh, okay.
Like she has an ice cream truck selling okay. Brazilian wavy out of it.
I it's love amazing. That though. No, I do love that. I do love that. Someone who knows how to monetize on a trend.
And like, I want the album. Like if she has an album, I will.
You're buying it.
I will spend it because I want to be a part of her life.
Okay.
In that way. So you're hired because like so many of us, like you're building stuff. You're, you know, you're doing your little post updates, whatever. But what happens when you pop off? Like, are
that's
you ready?
True. Are you ready?
Tokyo's house was in order. Tokyo. She was ready.
No, that is a valid, valid point. I am with it and I love it. Because that's true. Like, you do all of this work to blow up. And then when you do blow up, are you ready for, you know, for the backlash of that?
Yes.
All right,
so
well,
Tokyo,
you.
Your hire, direct deposit form.
Congratulations, Tokyo.
Is here for
yes.
you.
Congrats. Come get it. Love it. All right, it has been a phenomenal show.
One
unfortunately, it is time to clock out, time to say goodbye. Thank you for joining us for another episode of Joblogs. We hope you really liked the new format. Please, please, please send us your feedback. Tell us what you liked, loved, didn't feel so great about, so we can keep evolving the show and making it better.
Definitely.
As always, you can find us and get in touch with us at joblogs.com or around the web, Instagram, Twitter, Periscope, my new fave, at Joblogs. Courtney, where can we find you?
I am at Cleave Out Loud. That's C-L-E-V-E Out Loud. Twitter, Insta, and Snap.
And I am at Hey Miss Parker, if you must follow my personal account, on Instagram and Twitter.
Hey also, Miss Parker, double R.
Yes, that's true.
Let them know.
Hey, M-I-S-S-P-A-R-K-E-R-R, all over the web. Also, rate us on the iTunes store, preferably with 5 stars.
Yes, give us those stars.
Leave us a review. Reviews help the show get recognition and help us to keep expanding. So leave us a review. We're actually going to read 2 reviews
on
the iTunes store.
Yes.
We have fans, guys.
It's so cute.
All right, I'm going to read the first. Courtney, read the second, and then okay. I'm going to tell you who it
cool.
is.
Cool, cool.
So Zena of hersavvycareer.com says, real dialogue. I enjoyed episode 1 because it didn't sound so much like an interview, but more of a conversation between people getting to know each other. Very natural. I loved it. And episode 1 was our episode with Gina and Wei talking about starting Avantour, a clothing line.
Nice. And then we have another one from AP89212. And they say, I am a fan. Very informative. Great for someone interested in starting a clothing line and jumping into the business startup world.
Yes, again, about episode 1. So thank you both. Fun fact about AP89212.
Share.
That is my younger brother.
Aww.
Yeah,
hey, brother.
He just told me this past weekend or like 2 weeks ago when I was in D.C. He was like, yeah, you know the AP89212 writing?
That was me.
That was all me. So I love it. Thank
Family
you for
love.
The support. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Also, shout out to Adrian, our producer and audio
yes.
engineer extraordinaire.
He's a straight Adrian.
Yes. And Jimmy Fontanez at Visionary Media here in Chelsea
Great
in New York
setup.
City.
Wonderful.
Set up the studio for us, hooked up all of the Skype for our interview with Morgan. So thank you so much to Visionary Media and to Jimmy. All right. Until next time, guys.
Next time.
It's been fun.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe came along and changed everything. With Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. Now I can accept in-person, contactless payments right from my iPhone. No extra hardware required. What's truly remarkable is how I can cater to all of my customers' payment preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe ensure a smooth checkout experience every time. And it's not just me. Stripe helps businesses of all sizes, from local markets to global retailers, scale quickly and stay agile. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.